Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are on the Healing Hour, and I'm your host, Minister Arthur Harold Burgess III, and this is PKN Network, and I am so glad to be with you this evening. Listen, if you are tuning in, I want y'all to call, ask questions, get involved, talk to me, share testimonies, whatever's on your heart, call in. But in order to call in, I need you to dial 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. And don't forget to press pound one. Please don't forget to press pound one. We are also on blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. That is blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And I'm with you at the 9 p.m. hour, and we have so much to talk about. It's been a little while. I missed you guys. We have not talked, in almost 3 weeks. And it's been too long, and I miss you. And we are just coming off celebrating. We are 21 episodes in, coming off celebrating our 1,000th episode. And I just have so much to share with you guys. I have so much to just, you know, pour in, because God pours something into me. So I'm just going to throw it back at you. All right? So if you want a word from the Lord, I just think you just need to sit back, relax, go get something to eat, but tune in and listen to Thus Saith the Lord. Before we get to the word and the topic of this evening, because I definitely want to get to the topic of this evening, I just want to share with you again, and I've been a little bit off this, but God told me to jump right back in, so I'm going to jump right back in. I want you guys to understand something. The Bible gave Noah a blueprint. The Bible told Noah how to build, what to build the ark with, how to build the ark, what measurements to use, what type of wood he was going to use, and it showed how long it took him to build it. Guess what, y'all? The Bible never said Noah was an ark maker. And I'm telling you right now, if you are listening, there are things that God may have called you to do, that God may have purposed you to do, and you may not be knowledgeable of that thing. You may not have a degree in it. You ain't go to school for it. Ain't nobody tell you how to do it. And it may be something completely new and crazy and unidentified to anybody else. But if God gave you the blueprint, if God gave you the tools, do it. You may not know what you're doing, but trust me, if you just put hand to tool, God will show you exactly what to do. It may be something crazy. It may be something outside of the box, but God is still calling people to do things outside of the box. So whatever it is, however strange it may seem, however new it may seem, whatever this thing may be, follow your dream. Follow that vision that God gave to you, because he'll give you the tools even if you're not quite clear on what to do. And he'll give you the platform to do exactly what he's called you to do. So guess what, y'all? Everybody in here is an ark maker, because God has given us the tools. God bless you. I hope you got something from that. Well, let's dig into the show. Let's dig into the show. All right, so I want to talk about a particular topic, and I teach a Bible study every other Monday. It is a really cool Bible study. The age range has been between 18 to 40, and it's been a really good crowd of young adults and just adults and young adults, And they are there, they are dedicated, and the numbers grow every week. And I just thank God. And I'm doing a series in this Bible study, and it's called Jesus, Man and God, or God and Man. And the reason why I'm doing this series is because for 6 weeks I did another series explaining salvation. Because I think that a lot of us, when asked about salvation, we only understand John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know that, but the platform or the identity or the follow-up with salvation, we are not familiar with. So when people get saved, they have this idea that this new life is all of a sudden going to take over, and the troubles of your past life have no reference to now, and the new challenges of your new life don't exist. So people think that once they get saved, they just walk into this, you know, this new platform, and everything is cool, and everything is, you know, and now you're impervious. You're impervious, or you're shielded from bad situations. You're shielded from promises or problems. So what we do is because we think that now that we got Jesus, everything's okay. When things hit us off guard, we don't know what to do because we thought siding or being saved prevented us from being hurt or prevented us from being attacked. But the reality is once you sign up to be saved, you are in a fight. You are in a fight. And I just want to let you guys know that the same way that Jesus had to take up his cross, you got to take up yours. You know, so don't think that salvation is a free ride to heaven. No. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. So with that, we did 6 weeks of just understanding what is salvation, why do we get saved, what does it mean when we get saved, and how does salvation prepare us for homegoing? So now we're doing Jesus, God, and man. And the reason why I came up, or the Holy Spirit gave me this topic, is because I found out that a lot of times we only understand Jesus on the cross. We only identify with Jesus on the cross. And it sucks that we do that, because if we only know him as the man who died and then resurrected, we'll never be able to equate him, or we'll never be able to relate to him in any way. But Jesus came so that we can have somebody to relate to. Jesus came so that he can be an example for us. Let me show you. If we look at John 6, was John 6, and we go at verse 38, and we go John 6, verse 38, and I'm going to read 38 through 46. I just want to show you something. Verse 38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which have sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. For this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man have seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Now, I just want to show you this real quick. Jesus came down because his Father told him to. Not to do his own thing, but to do the will of his Father. And what is the will of his Father? That every man sees him as the bread from heaven, that every man sees him as the Son of God. And if you see him as the Son of God, then you'll be raised with him in the last day. So this is one part of it. He says, hey, don't, people were talking about, hey, ain't you Joseph and Mary's son? How are you the Son of God and your parents are Joseph and Mary? We know them. We know who they are. So now you God's son? And he says, yes. I'm the bread that comes from heaven. If you want to see God, you got to go through me. Now, this is a bold statement. This is a strong statement because he's announcing to everyone that he's God's son. But not only is he announcing that he's God's son, he's saying, hey, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So he's announcing that he's God and that he's the Savior of the world. The Jews were waiting for a Savior. They've been waiting for a long time. They've studied and they've had days of feast days and rituals that marked to this point in finding a Savior. And here they are, the Savior right in front of their face, and they have no idea who he is. They can't connect to him. And here we go. Jesus, he's saying, yes, I'm the Son of God, but I'm also God. Because if you see me, you see the Father. So they had no idea, or they could not relate to him as God. So let's see what else happens. Let's look at Matthew 5. We're going to look at Matthew 5, 17 through 20. I'm doing a lot of reading today. I need y'all to read with me. Look at it with me. Study with me. It's Matthew 5, 17 through 20. And it says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. So here Jesus is saying, think not that I came to destroy the law. Don't think that I came to get rid of the law. No, he said, don't think I came to get rid of it. What did I come to do? I came to fulfill it. What does it mean to fulfill something? I came to do it. I came to show you how to do it. You know, Jesus came to show us how to live. So, yes, he showed us that he was God, but he also showed us how a human being should live on planet Earth. So don't think that he came to destroy the law. No, he came to show you how to do it. And here's the problem. We understand him as a savior on the cross who died for our sins, and he rose to be with God, and he is God. But we can't relate to him as a man. And I'm going to go further and say that we don't even relate to him as God because we can't relate to him as man. So we may think that we have a relationship with him, but we have an ideology of him. We have an idea of him. We have a concept of him. And we can't relate to him because we never saw him do what we have done. And I'm sorry, it's hard to relate to somebody who can't witness or experience some of the things that you experience. It's hard to get advice from somebody who ain't been, you know, where you've been. That's like me, you know, it's like somebody who's never been married giving marriage advice. Like, how in the world can you tell me how to build a house if you never picked up a brick? So the relationship that we have with Jesus is somewhat slighted because we haven't understood him in his totality. We haven't understood him as a man and as God. We're not done yet. We still got a lot to go. We're still moving because it's so much information and there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. And we're going to look at Matthew 4. We're going to look at Matthew 4, and we're going to go from 1 to 11. That is Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to read this, and I want you to follow with me because this got a lot of things in it. And it says, verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I want you to notice that there's a capital S on the word Spirit. And when you see the word Spirit, when it references God, is always capital. So here we are. The Spirit led Jesus to be tempted. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that God will lead you to a place where you can be tempted? So everything ain't the devil's fault? Everything that we get led to, we can't give the devil credit for? Yes, it says the Spirit led Jesus to be tempted by the devil. Let's see what happens. All right, and it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command thee that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here we are. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And I want you to see something, that it was after he fasted that the devil came. The devil tends to come after you had the experience, after you had the moment. You know, it's already bad enough that you went through whatever you went through, or it can even be a good moment. It can be when you're up, or it can be when you're down. But the devil has a tendency to come after the fact. So after the 40-day fast, here comes the devil tempting Jesus. And after his 40-day fast, the devil says, hey, you see those stones? Turn them into bread. And Jesus says, man shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, here come the devil tempting him with his current problem. His current problem is he fasted for 40 days and he is hungry. I fasted for a few hours and I was hungry. I fasted for a few days and I was hungry. I know for a fact, 40 days, I don't know. The rock looked good. I'll probably put some salt and pepper on the rock. Might make it work. See what happens. But here we are. Jesus is saying, hey, you know, man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Now let's get a reference scripture, because Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Listen, guys, there will be some cases where the devil may tempt you, and here's how you determine if you are being tempted by the devil. Use the word of God. And the word will decipher or determine the intent of those or that thing which is speaking. So if you want to know if you're being tempted, use the word. And the word will show you the intent of the situation. Let's go back up to Matthew. Now, we stopped at Matthew 4, we're going to read 5, and it says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So now the devil's like, hey, why don't you just call these angels, right, and tell them to come get you off of this high pinnacle. Just come get you off of this high point. All right, let's put this in another terms. The devil is tempting you, and you're in a tight situation. You're in a jam. And he says, hey, why don't you tempt God to get you off of where God put you? Why don't you say, hey, God, take this thing away? Let me give you guys a little secret. Sometimes we pray away situations or problems that God is using to bless us with. We can't say, God, take this thing away from me every single time there's a problem. Why don't we start praying, hey, God, teach me or show me what you're trying to say in this moment. Show me, why am I in this position? Because God may be using that particular moment to bless you, to increase you, to elevate you. But if you pray it away, how can you get the blessing that comes with it? So be careful about moments that we decide to pray away. Instead, say, God, show me what you're doing right now. And here we are, Jesus, using the word as his two-edged sword, says, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, let's look down. Let's look down at John 4, 23 to 24, and it says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Y'all, the devil is looking for worship. He don't care how it comes. He don't care which way it comes. But I also want to read this scripture right here, Deuteronomy 6, 16 and 18. And it says, ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy father. Here we are. Jesus told the devil, hey, the word says don't tempt God. And God says, hey, don't tempt me just because you're in a gym. Be obedient, and I'll give you what I promised your father. I'll allow you to possess the situation. So don't tempt me with the, you know, God, take this thing away from me, God, save me. But don't tempt me, just be obedient. And it's hard to be obedient when you're in a tight spot. It's hard to be the good spouse when your other spouse is doing the wrong thing. It's hard to be the good employee when everybody around you is doing wrong and you don't have a good employer. It is hard to be the good person in a bad situation. But God is saying, hey, don't tempt me. Just be obedient, and I'll allow you to possess that thing. So when the boss was giving you a hard time, when the manager or the supervisor was going to give you a hard time, I'll move them out the way and you become the supervisor. When the spouse was making the wrong choices and doing the wrong thing, with your obedience, I'll prick their hearts for them to change. But it all starts with obedience. That's where it starts at. It doesn't start with your frustration. It doesn't start with your anger. And sometimes we have to set our emotions aside and just do the will of God. And that's a tough pill to swallow. I'm sorry, that's a hard thing. God is still working on me with some things, and I know he is. But in that moment, we have to understand that it is best to be obedient. Do what God commanded. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Why make a sacrifice when you don't have to? So now let's move back up. We're going to go back up. We still in Matthew. But I'm bouncing back and forth because I want to reference it. I want to reference all these different events. So we're at 8. We're at Matthew 4 and 8. And it says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And here comes this bounce back scripture, and I already read it, and here's what it says. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship him, what? The Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The devil does not care how you worship him. And I'm telling you right now, there are moments where we idolize certain things and we have no idea that we're doing it. When we are focusing on something and we are giving our attention to something way more than we give God attention, that is idol worship. And even though you're not worshiping the devil, it directly in that moment, he'll take it. He's okay with that. For example, if you're facing a problem and your mind is so far on that problem to where you can't put God in a position to work it out, that problem becomes your God. And the devil is okay with that. So even though you're not worshiping him, you're worshiping the problem, and he'll take that praise. He don't care if it's true. God requires spirit and truth. The devil don't care nothing about no truth. Just give me the worship. I'll take it however it comes. And unfortunately, we're living in a world where worship comes however you want it. Worship can come in a backflip, and I'm okay with that, but worship can, it can come in all different points of and purposes. But if that does not connect with truth, if your worship does not connect with truth, God says you can't be a true worshiper, because the true worshipers have spirit and truth. And guess what? There are some people out there who got a lot of truth but no worship. And they are very knowledgeable and they are very understanding. And God calls it vain worship. Why? Because with all the knowledge you have, if you're not willing to humble yourself and worship the one true God and give him the praise and step outside your box and step outside your ideals of what worship looks like and allow yourself to be transformed into a worship time and service with God. And if you only focus on truth and what you know and how to break down laws and how to break down the word, if there's no worship with that, you're still missing a key component. They have to come together. And you need to be a true worshiper, because true worshipers have spirit and truth, not one or the other. And the devil, he'll take spirit. He'll take worship. He'll take it. He don't need no truth to go with that. There's a lot of people out here right now who are worshiping God. Or think they're worshiping God. And I'm going to say this, and some people may get upset and some people may not like it. But it's somebody right now who's having something called a Sunday service. And people are going around and they're worshiping God at this Sunday service. And it's just worship. No text is being read. Nobody is ministering out of the word of God, but they're talking out of their feelings and they're sharing concepts out of their feelings with no word, but it's all worship. And the music is dope. The beats are hot. The choir can sing. The singers are top notch. They are the best out there. And it can have all the spirit in the world, but where's the truth? And I'm telling you, what bothers me about us as saints, what bothers me about us as a body, is that as believers, we are quick to run to the world to worship, but we never set a platform up where the world can run to us. Why are we running so fast to someone who, even if they sound good, is not knowledgeable of the word? So we run to them before we run to both components, spirit and truth. Why? Matter of fact, why do we run to people when people are supposed to be running to us? He said we were supposed to be the light of the world. So now you run into a false light? And God bless the Sunday service. I hope that it transforms into something wonderful. I hope that it begins to grow. But instead of jumping on the bandwagon, why don't you be the light where somebody can, you know, ask you about Jesus, ask you about the Word of God. And then this Sunday service can be better because you have some truth to go with the Spirit. And if anybody don't know what the Sunday service is a platform out in California, and now it's being traveled around different churches. It's a choir and praise team set up by Kanye West, and he goes around and he sings songs, and he just shares his thoughts and his feelings with people in church. And like I said, it's cool, but we should be drawing him, not him drawing us. I'm just saying that there have been so many young babes in Christ who've been thrown on top of a platform with no education, no knowledge of the Word of God, and no understanding of the souls that they're talking to, and then they fall. And the people of God who ran to them fall right with them. And I don't blame them for falling. You know who I blame? I blame the people that put them on platforms without educating them first. That's just like a lot of kids out there who have gifts. There are young prophets out there. There are young great worshipers and singers and preachers out there. And some adult is quick to just throw them on a platform and give them a title without educating them. How do I know? Because I was one of them. I was one of those kids at 11 years old. They were quick to throw up on a platform, and they were quick to say, hey, sing this, preach this, and tune up and show. And then when I fell, there was nobody in sight. Because even though I knew how to put a sermon together, or I knew how to preach, or I knew how to prophesy, I knew how to lay hands, I wasn't equipped to have the maturity that comes with ministering. And I don't blame the kids or the babe in Christ who fall. I blame the leaders who never prepared them. I blame the pastors and bishops who put them on platforms but never educated them on what it's really like to be a minister of the gospel. Let me get back to my lesson. That's a whole other topic for a whole other show. I'm going to read the last scripture, Matthew 4:11. Matthew 4:11 says, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. All this time, the devil was trying to get him to do something before it was time. And at the end of being tempted and allowing the devil to flee, the angel showed up anyway. We don't have to rush the process. It's going to happen anyway. the healing is going to happen anyway. The promotion, the everything that you're looking for God to do, the elevation, the growth is going to happen anyway. But we got to go through the process. We got to weave our way out of this. We got to learn through our journey. And if we understand that first, temptation is not, or being tempted is not a problem. It is not a bad thing. When you're tempted, it is to show you that you've grown or that you still need to work on it. It is to show you that you finally got it, or still some things you need to tweak. So being tempted isn't a bad thing. When you are on your job and they say, hey, we want to, you know, test you, or we want to, you know, you got to go, you know, get a training all over again. And we're in this training because nobody likes trainings. I don't know anybody who is excited to go to the new training at the job. If you're going through training, you don't like it. But the training is to show you either that you know what you're doing or that you need to brush up on some things and you need a refresher. So don't get upset when you're being faced with a challenge. That challenge was designed to show you that, hey, you either got some more work to do or you are right on course. And I believe that some of you are right on course. And there's some of you that got some work to do, and there's nothing wrong with having work to do. The Word of God is a mirror. It's a mirror. It shows your strengths. It shows your weaknesses. It shows you how to get better, even when you're doing good. Because we shouldn't be okay with contentment. We shouldn't be okay with being good. We should strive to the mark of the high calling. But it also shows us this. Jesus Christ was tempted just like us. Jesus Christ had things to deal with just like us. He had problems just like us. And he was in some bad spots just like us. And if you're able to see a Savior that went through what you went through and he made it through, now when you're going through, you can say to yourself, I can do it because Jesus did it. I can go through it because Jesus went through it. And if he can make it out, I can make it out. And why? Because he said he was going to be with me. He was going to guide me through it. So I'm not alone, but I'm also with somebody that's had the same experience. And ain't nothing like being with someone who knows what you've been through and going through it with them. Does anybody know what that feels like to have a friend that says, man, I've been through this. You can make it. We're going to get through this together. And that's what having a Savior is about. That's what it's about. It's not just about dying on the cross. It's about recognizing that your experiences are also his experiences. And if he made it through, imagine what you can do with him. Right now, there's somebody listening or somebody listening on the line, and they're trying to figure out what to do. They're trying to figure out how to hold on, how to make any decisions, and they're trying to understand what's going on in their lives, and I'm not going to assume, so I'm going to ask, and I'm going to inquire, you know, if there's anybody who's listening, and they possibly does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, I want to offer you this opportunity. And this opportunity is a chance to have a partner through the struggle, a partner that knows what you've been through, a partner that feels or felt your pain, a partner that can give you tips and give you cues and pointers on what to do and not to do in these particular moments. If you need a partner, I suggest that partner be Jesus. I suggest that partner be Jesus. So right now, if you're listening and you say, I need a life partner, I need somebody who's going to hold my hand, I need a savior, but I also need somebody who's going to be there with me. I need a somebody who's going to save my soul, but I also need somebody who's going to be with me in life. If you're looking for that person, I just want you to, first, I want you to do one simple thing. I want you to, the first, in order to get him, he says, you got to allow him to come into your heart. That means you got to allow him to live inside of you. You got to allow him to be with you. And then you have to recognize that you are a sinner, that you have fallen, that you don't have it all together. And after you recognize that you are a sinner, you ask him to change your heart, and you ask him to you know, take away your sins, and you declare that he is the Lord of your life, that he died for you, but not only did he die for you, that he rose for you. And if you did that, man, you just found a new life partner. Someone who's going to be with you through life. And he's going to be with you after this is all over. He said, because in the last day I'm going to raise you up. But at first you have to acknowledge him, acknowledge that he's the Son of God, that also being the Son of God, he is God. Acknowledge that he is Lord over your life, and allow him to come up into your heart and clean you up, a sinner that needs to be fixed, that needs to mature, that needs to grow. If you can be that person, if you can make that bold statement, you are a part of the body of Christ. And if you felt something at this moment, God bless you. But even if you didn't, even if there were no sparks flying, if there was no, you know, there's no the tear moments, if you felt that, but if you didn't, your confession is enough. That's all you need is to confess. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you confess, you're still a part of the body. You're a part of the body. You're one of us. And right now, because you made that choice, the Bible says that heaven is throwing a party when one soul does it. Imagine when there's 5, there's 50, there's 500, there's 5,000, when there's 1,000,000. Imagine the party that's happening right now because of one soul. God gets excited about you as an individual. He doesn't care about numbers. He's getting excited about you. He's throwing a party for you. He's smiling. He's happy for you. And you mean just that much to him. To get excited about you. So right now, we're going to pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for that lost soul that came to you. I thank you for that person who decided to make you his life partner, to make you his the person that's going to stand by him, the person that's going to give him advice, the person that's going to whisper in his ear, and a person that's going to say to him, if I did it, you can do it. Because he knows that you came to fulfill the law. You came to show him how to live. And now all they want to do is live like you. All I want to do is live like you. And if you show me how to do it, I'll do it. If you show them how to do it, they'll do it, God. They're going to have some bumps. They're going to have some bruises. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a little rough. It may hurt a little bit. But, God, if you show us how to do it, we'll do it. So, God, I ask you to look down on that soul and ask that you sit down. You dine with them. You talk to them. You begin to show them the love that you have for them, that they can be with you at the end. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for this lesson. I just thank God for you listening right now. Right now, we are about to have Brother Rob. He's going to do some announcements. And right after he does the announcements, I'm going to jump right back on with you, and we're going to end the show. Amen? All right, Brother Rob, let's go.
All right. Real quickly, this is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank each and every one of you for listening with tonight's episode. We also invite you to, after the call of salvation that Reverend Burgess just provided you tonight, that you find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that nurtures you in the Word of Christ. And if you can't find that sanctuary, that's why we're here. We are a church without walls here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and we invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows, our upcoming advertisements. And we like to thank you for doing so, and also to invite a friend to do so also. If you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can do likewise, send your comments, questions, concerns. You can send a prayer request. We greatly appreciate that. Also, we have continued our morning walk with prayer on anchor.com. So you can just go on any of our social media pages, which is also includes Twitter and Instagram at purpose_kingdom. We can just click on any of the links, and you can listen to our morning walk on anchor.com. We thank you so much for doing so. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening with our program, in which will be at 9 p.m. I believe this is the fourth Friday, and I believe we do have a open show there for tomorrow evening, but just feel free to join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour. We thank each and every one of you for listening tonight, and also we are broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And anytime you want to hear any of our past previous broadcasts, you can go there and type in the show name or the host name, and you can listen to that show in its entirety and at your convenience. We'd like to thank each and every one of you for your support. And with that being said, we're going to just turn the program back over to Reverend Arthur Burgess.
All right. Thank you, Brother Rob, for the announcements. Don't nobody do announcements like he does. All right. So I just want to, again, let you guys know that I am doing this study because I just want you to see Jesus in another light. And maybe if you see Jesus this way, you'll be okay, and you'll understand that if Jesus can do it, I can do it too. If Jesus had to learn how to work things out, I can learn how to work it out too. I mean, I have some really cool things to show you guys. I can, you know, I've studied Jesus as a child. I've studied Jesus and his awkward relationship between his parents and his earthly father, and how he has relationships with people, and how, you know, Jesus, he developed a sense of trying to figure people out on the way, and how he had to change and the way he talked, and not necessarily change his message, but change his persona. So we're going to see how Jesus can be a little socially awkward. And that if you have kids who are active and sometimes misbehave, there are times in the Bible where Jesus acted up as a kid. And I just want to share that with you guys, and maybe if I just want somebody to see Jesus in a way that they can look at themselves and say, I can do it too. And that's all I got. That's all I can say. If Pastor Toy is on the line, you know, I can grab her and she can say some last words before we close out. If not, we are going to end the show. Praise God. But before we end, we are on Purpose Kingdom Network, and this is Blog Talk Radio / Purpose Kingdom. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. That is Purpose Kingdom Network, and that's on Facebook, Purpose Kingdom, on Instagram. And I'm quite sure there's a couple other Purpose Kingdom social media sites also. Follow
yes,
me.
Yes, there are.
All right, go ahead, say it. Let me know those other sites too.
You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom, and we are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. You can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. As always, we would love to hear from you, pray with you, pray for you, and you can request for that email to go out to any of the hosts, and it will be delivered to them directly. So please feel free to reach out. Reverend Art, I just bless God for you. I'm excited about the series, Jesus, Man, and God. I'm so excited because as you're sitting there, there's so much running through my head. I'm like, oh, yes, you can right give it. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just excited. I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to do because this is just the intro of it. But I'm telling y'all, you want to follow this series because it is going to take you to a whole new level of understanding of the God-man, whom we call in the English language Jesus, in the Arabic language Isa, in the Hebrew language Yeshua. So if you want to get in a closer relationship, make sure you follow this series. Reverend Art, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. May he continue to smile upon you. Thank you so much. Good night,
thank
everybody.
You.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.